You are listening to a message from Calvary Fellowship of Ottawa. For more information about our church, or more importantly, how to have a personal relationship with God through Jesus Christ, please visit our website, calvaryottawa.ca. Now, if you're able, open your Bible for today's study.
1 Corinthians chapter 12. How many of you guys have been here for every single message in this series on the gifts of the Spirit? Raise your hand up high, nice and high. Been here for everyone. Okay. All right, for everybody. Question for everybody. Has it been good? Have you learned something? Okay, because good, because that's what he said. I don't want you to be uninformed, so learn something. Tonight, I think it'll be the last one. We're going to wrap it up. And we're going to see how these gifts are to be used in the church. But of course, we've got to do a little quick review because not everybody was here for all the messages. So we're going to give all five messages in 5 minutes. Some of you guys are like, why didn't we do that to begin with? Because it was rich. Let's pray. Lord, we have your word open in front of us. And we're trusting, Lord, that you're going to do a miracle by your Spirit. Open it up. Teach us. Reveal yourself to us. May we see you in this text. And Lord, may you do the unbelievable, the impossible. May you change us and make us more like you, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, concerning spiritual gifts, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be uninformed. That would be terrible. You know that when you were pagans, you were led astray to mute idols. What kind of idols? Mute idols. They don't talk. However, you were led. Therefore, I want you to understand that no one... I'll try it again. Therefore, I want you to understand that no one of God ever says Jesus is accursed, and no one can say Jesus is Lord except in the Holy Spirit. Is the Holy Spirit mute?
No.
Is the Holy Spirit speaking? Yes. How is he speaking in the world today? First one is he's coming, nice and loud, Rose. He's coming alongside us. Now, who's us? Everybody, whole world, including people living in Afghanistan or Pakistan or wherever they are. Right? He's coming alongside, and what is he doing? What is he speaking to everybody on the planet? What's he speaking to them? Convicting them of sin, righteousness, judgment, that they have no self-control, yes. Sin, righteousness, judgment, and pointing them towards Jesus Christ. That's right. That's the role of the Holy Spirit in the world today, convicting of sin, righteousness, and judgment. He's coming alongside. You can see that in John chapter 16, verse 7. Second way that he's speaking. Wait. One before that one. Inside. He's coming inside who? Christians, the believer in Jesus Christ. That person who has come to the place in their life where they realize that Jesus Christ is the living God and he is seated on the throne of the universe. And he's coming again soon to fix this place. And there will be no more Boston bombs. There will be no more Newton. There will be no more Royal Ottawa Hospital. There will be no more need for children's aid. There will be no more need for a military, for terrorist control, for peace talks. He's going to fix this place. And it's going to be glorious. Jesus Christ is the living God. And when you come to that place in your life where you realize that and you submit to him as king, you're no longer the Lord of your life. You're no longer the king of your life. You're no longer the one that's in charge. But you go back and in essence, you're correcting Adam's sin. What was Adam's sin? I want to know what is good for me and what is bad for me. And so when you become a Christian, what you're saying is I don't know what is good for me. And I don't know what is bad for me. Jesus Christ knows what is good for me. And Jesus knows what is bad for me. And so now I'm redefining every decision in my life based on what he says rather than what on I say. I've given my life to Jesus Christ. So I don't know if it's good for me to go on a missions trip or bad for me to go on a missions trip. He knows if it's good for me or if it's bad for me. I don't know if it's a good idea for me to have sex outside of marriage or not. He knows if it's a good idea or if it's a bad idea. It's a bad idea. You understand? I don't make those decisions anymore. He becomes king, Lord, sovereign, Savior, all that rolled into one. And when that happens, when surrender happens in my heart, the Holy Spirit comes to live on the inside of the Christian, changing them forever. He calls it, it's so dramatic that Jesus called it being born again. And if you haven't done it, you got to try it. No, that's not the right way to say it. But if you haven't done it, you got to do it. It is the way to become fully human. To become fully what God designed you to be is to be in relationship with Jesus Christ, to give your life to Jesus Christ. And the Holy Spirit will come on the inside of you. Amazing. You say, you got proof? Yes. Jesus said it, John chapter 14, verse 15. He will come inside and he will speak to you. The Spirit of truth will come and live on the inside of you. What's the third way he's speaking? Ina.
Upon.
Yes. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will try a little hard to be my witnesses, but it won't go that well. No, what does it say? You will be my witnesses. You won't have to go do witnessing in order to be a witness. You will be a witness that does witnessing. Changes who you are, right? And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and all the ends of the earth. So that's the relationship that we're focused on, is this relationship where he comes upon the believer with power to witness. We dealt with the cessation passage. If you want to know what we said about that, get the first message. We talked about that. Verse 4. Now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are varieties of service, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who empowers them all in everyone. How can I tell if something supernatural or something spiritual that happens is from the Lord? It is a gift of the Holy Spirit. How can I tell?
Love.
Oh, I love this group. You guys are so paying attention. Amy, you're right on. It's love. What kind of love? Jesus' love. It's unconditional divine love, which is why 1 Corinthians 13 is right in between 1 Corinthians 12, I don't want you to be uninformed, and 1 Corinthians 14, here's how it works, the gifts of the Spirit. Because the essence of it is love. And this is why Paul said, pursue love and eagerly desire the spiritual gifts, especially that you may prophesy. Didn't say speaking in tongues. He said prophesy. But what are you to pursue? Love. Because love is the trunk of the tree. It's the roots of the tree. All the gifts come out of divine love, out of unconditional love, the love of God. Jude, keep yourselves in the love of God. All right, so that's one way to make sure that it's from the Holy Spirit, is that it has that signature of unconditional divine love. What's another way that you can tell it's from the Lord? Supernatural, spiritual. Amy, I'm so excited. It points to Jesus Christ. That's right. Whatever gift or supernatural thing or spiritual thing that happens, its goal and its aim is to point people towards the reality and the truth that Jesus Christ, I love this, is the living God. I'm going to preach this for the next 6 months while it's some years away. He won't be here in Ottawa. He'll take that message on the road. We're just going to adopt it here. He is the living God. Oh, that's good. He's not the dead God. We're not trying to keep his memory alive. He is alive. It's the living God. All right, so it will point to Jesus Christ. So that's how we know. Even though there's this great variety of gifts, great variety of activities, great variety of services, it's the same Lord, and we can see the signature in where it comes from, divine love, and where it's going, witnessing of Jesus Christ. All right, you got that. Verse 7. Two. Loud, come on, I heard it. Each. To some of the spiritual ones, especially the ones that are like in leadership or like the really good ones that do their devotions every day. No, it's to how many? Each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for what purpose? The common good. Pastor Danny Hodges, who will be here in August, 1st through 5th, for our conference, has said, if the church is a body, I want to make sure that it has all its fingers and toes and every part of it working. No matter how insignificant you might feel that you are part of the body, listen, you're part of the body and you're important and you add to the whole thing. You say, well, Andy, I don't, you know, I've been downloading movies for the last 6 months. I don't know that, you know, and it says to each is given the manifestation of the Spirit. That it's not based in your performance. What's it based in? Boom! That's right. It's based in faith. Here you go. Here's your verses. Here's your verses. Galatians chapter 3, verse 5 says this. Does he who supplies the Spirit to you and works miracles among you do so because you dress right, look right, act right? Or by hearing with faith? It's by hearing with faith. If you want another one, it's Hebrews 11:6. It's another one. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. James 1:6. But let him ask in faith, with no doubting. For the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea that's driven and tossed by the wind. For that person must not suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. Faith. It's faith, not performance, not a reward. It's not a reward for good behavior. Oh, I'll give you a gift of the Spirit. No, gifts are gifts. They're just given. All right, to each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. There's only two reasons I can think of. Somebody might text in another one. But there's only two reasons that I can think of that you would not receive a gift of the Spirit. One of them is faith. That's one. That's obvious. Anybody think of another one? That would stop it, that would inhibit God's grace. Disobedience would inhibit it, yeah, for sure. Right, well, the Spirit has to give it. You can't make them happen. It's like a dude out there trying to surf and make his own waves. You know, just, yeah, okay, keep going, buddy. Yeah, right on. You're cool. Making your own wave. Ride that thing. The rest of us will just wait for the waves. For sure. But God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. It's be pride. I know what's good for me, and I know what's bad for me. That's pride. Almost every time, a gift of the Spirit is going to humble you. That's why your heart goes, if I say this, they're going to think I'm so dumb. Right? And then you say it, and it's like, kaboom, the glory of God. And you're like, oh, I am dumb, and I don't care. That was awesome. You understand, right? He resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. So here's where you want to be, the position that you want to be in for receiving gifts of the Spirit. Number one, faith that God wants to give them. that he's a good God, that he's a generous God, that he is speaking in the world today. Faith, not doubting. Second thing is fresh surrender. Lord, I just want to remind you and remind me, I belong to you. I gave my life to you. These are your hands, your feet. This is your mouthpiece. This is your brain. I belong to you. I am at your disposal to use however you want to use. That's fresh surrender, fresh commitment of our life to Christ. Gifts. All right. So to each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. Verse 8. For to one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, to another the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit, to another faith, the gift of faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the one Spirit, to another the working of miracles. That's just kind of that general category of, oh yeah, all kinds of spiritual, supernatural stuff just kind of fits in that category, working of miracles. To another prophecy, to another the ability to distinguish between spirits, to another various kinds of tongues or languages, to another the interpretation of tongues. And if you want to know what those are, we did 4 messages on those, and you can look at them. Verse 11, all these are empowered by, you can't make these happen. You can't make it happen. All these are empowered by one and the same Spirit who apportions to each one individually as he wills. You don't get to pick which gifts you get. And you don't get to pick sometimes what time you get them. You're just a conduit of his grace. Gifts of the Spirit. You want to be open to them. To apportions to how many people? Each one individually as he wills. All right. So the question we want to examine tonight is, how's all this put together? What does this look like in church? Church service. In the church. What does this look like? And most of us are kind of clued into this now because of a couple things. One, we realize this church, Calvary, man, it's Bible-based. That dude every week just picks up where he left off and keeps going. Like, this guy's into the Bible. And he's talking about spiritual gifts. But there's no chandeliers in the building. What's going on here? We're not running around the room. You know, they're not dancing up the aisles. Where's the banners? And so you're like, okay, well, you're not quite in this category, but you're not quite in this category. Like, well, how does this work? How does this work in the church? Is this like the dirty little secret of this church? Like, you know, Josh and Andy get together on Thursday morning and they pray in tongues for 6 hours? You know, like, how does this work? You know, how does this go? Well, I've been known to pray in tongues. Not for 6 hours. It's a long time. What does it look like? How does it work? And then here's this. How are they used in the church? How are they learned? When do we get an opportunity to get familiar with them? How does that work? Fast forward, 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Verse 26. Now, we read from verse 1 all the way to 25 last week, and we were talking about tongues because he really gives this great definition of tongues and how they're to be used and when they're not to be used. And you'll remember that he said, if you have outsiders, people who are not Christians in your church service, and people speak in tongues, will they not think that you're out of your mind? And we all go, yes, they will think that. They do think that. Sometimes we think that. About them, you know, kind of thing. So how does this work? Because it's got to be able to function inside of the church somehow. That's what verse 26 addresses. Here it is. What then, brothers, and it always means brothers and sisters when it says that, when you come together, each one has a hymn. We had a hymn tonight, didn't we? Who brought the hymns tonight? It was Andrew. Andrew came over here. He brought hymns with him tonight. He brought them. He led us in worship. We all sang together hymns, right? Each one of you has a hymn, a lesson. Now, who's doing that tonight? I am. I'm staying. Most weeks, I'm the one bringing the lesson. So we're doing that. We're doing good so far. And then it says a revelation. Sometimes we have a revelation. Sometimes in family time, somebody will stand up and they've got a revelation from the scriptures and they'll share it. A tongue or an interpretation. Now, we don't normally have that, do we? That's not normally part of our church service. Then look at this. Let all things be done for building up. If any speak in a tongue, let there be only two, or at the most three, and each in turn, and let someone interpret. But if there is no one to interpret, let each of them keep silent in church and speak to himself and to God. A couple things I want to say right here, real quick. First, this is the only gift of the Spirit that there is a limit set on for the church service. Interesting. Now, if you were here last week, Jesse testified about the gift of tongues and how it was used in this church several years ago and how the interpretation came. You guys remember that? And how the interpretation came out and how it just edified and built up the church when all that went down and what happened. And we haven't had that in years. In fact, we haven't had that since then. Interesting. We're ready for it. Waiting for it. We open it up. You say, Andy, what's wrong? Is it us? Is it us? No. It's the Spirit that apportions to each one as he wills. So it's no stress if it doesn't happen. Why? Maybe the Holy Spirit didn't want to do that. And that's okay. He's the one that gets to pick, not us. All right. Verse 29, let two or three prophets speak. Now we define prophets, didn't we? A prophet is somebody who proclaims God's word. They are declaring God's word. So that could be both what's in the scriptures already and something that may be happening in the future that we don't know. Prophecy, something in the future, or it could be taking what's already written here and applying it to the situation. Now, we've had a lot of that in this fellowship. We've had a lot of somebody taking the scriptures, proclaiming God's word, what's written in here, to a situation. We had that today. Actually, in family time. So it says, let two or three prophets speak, and let the others weigh or discern what is said. If a revelation is made to another sitting there, let the first be silent. For you can, what's that word? For you can all prophesy one by one, so that all may learn and, what is it? All be encouraged. And the spirits of the prophets are subject to the prophets. We touched on this a little bit last week. If I am experiencing a gift of the Spirit and the Spirit moving on my life, would I be more in control of my body or less in control of my body at that moment? More. Why is that? Because one of the fruits of the Spirit is self-control. We don't get possessed by God. He is the only one that gives mankind a choice. And so when his presence comes, he gives choice. That's why it's important for us to submit to him, to surrender to him, to bend our will towards his will. The spirits of the prophets are subject to the prophets. You can squish it. You can squelch it. The great thing, though, is that you can't stop God from speaking to his church. He'll just pick somebody next to you. And you'll go home going, man, next time I'm going to say it. I'm not going to get in that situation again. For God is not a God of confusion, but of peace. That's a little character statement about who he is. He does not want us to be confused. He is not a God of confusion. He does not bring chaos. He brings peace. As in all the churches of the saints, the women should keep silent in the churches. Amen. That's a joke. The only way I could lighten that one up. For they are not permitted to speak, but should be in submission, as the law also says. If there's anything they desire to learn, let them ask their husbands at home, for it is shameful for a woman to speak in church. Now, everybody in North America just gets all up in arms over those verses like that. Keep your temper. Just let me finish the chapter, and then we'll come back, and we'll look at this, and I think you'll see what the Apostle Paul was trying to say. But until then, don't get up and leave mad. Hear it out. Or was it from you that the word of God came, or are you the only ones it has reached? If anyone thinks he is a prophet or spiritual, he should acknowledge that the things I'm writing to you are a command of the Lord. If anyone does not recognize this, he is not recognized. So my brothers and sisters, earnestly desire to prophesy, and do not forbid speaking in tongues. But all things should be done decently and in order. The thrust of this section, from verse 26 to the end of the chapter, the thrust of this section, what Paul is trying to accomplish, is he is trying to get people to talk one at a time. That's what he's trying to say. He's saying, if somebody's talking, everybody else be quiet. And if somebody gets a revelation, okay, this guy got a revelation, right? He's got his hand up, he's got a revelation, all right, you sit down, right, let's let this guy talk. Let him talk one at a time, two or three, we'll take, we'll discern it, but one at a time. Okay, so if that's the thing, God is not a God of confusion, but of peace, verse 33, and verse 40, all things should be done decently in order. What do you think this whole section about the women is? Obviously, it's something going on in that culture at that time. They just had, for some reason, and I don't know why, apparently they just had some females in the church service that were just talking. I don't know. All I know is that in our church services in North America, nobody talks. Everybody's silent. Our problem is not that women are speaking. Our problem is that there's not enough people speaking. He wants to say something. Got a revelation. Go ahead. In Texas. Afghanistan. Okay, I missed that news report. In a NATO air raid. Okay. Samir. Yeah, it was good. Wanted to pray for those 11 kids and their families. Yeah. Yeah, it is important. Marty, we will pray for them. We'll pray for them at the end of the Bible study. We'll pray for them. Okay? All right. So that's the problem, is that there's not enough people talking. Because look, go back with me. Go back with me to verse 26. When you come together, each one of you has one of these parts for the church service. Up a little bit further, verse 31, for you can all prophesy. Back to chapter 12, verse 7, to each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. Our problem is not that women are talking in the church service. They're not. Well, they might be texting each other. But I haven't heard of any women texting each other. All I've heard about is guys texting each other in the church service. And the women are going, no, that's all I've heard about, texting guys. Did you hear him say that? You understand what I'm saying? The problem is not that when people are talking. The problem is that really, honestly, not enough people are talking. We got basically in our church service, we have two people talking. We have a worship leader talking, and we have a pastor talking, and that's it. And this text is saying everybody in the church has been given the manifestation of the Spirit, and it's for the common good. So what does that mean? What that means is the payoff for opening up the church service so that anybody can speak one at a time. What's the payoff? Back to chapter 12, verse 7, look at the payoff. The payoff is, to each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. Chapter 14, verse 26. Tail end of the verse. Let all things be done for what? Building up. Verse 31. For you can all prophesy one by one so that all may learn and all be encouraged. And probably the one that's the biggest one is chapter 14, verse 24. Look at this. But if all prophesy and an unbeliever or outsider enters, he is convicted by all. He is called to account by all. The secrets of his heart are disclosed, and so falling on his face, he will worship God and declare, that's a really good preacher. No, he'll say that God is really among you. So that's the payoff. How do we get there? How do we do that? What does that look like? Here's what I want you to see. I want you to see that that church service, that part of the church service, has a couple of things to it. One, there's an opportunity for people to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. That experience of having the Holy Spirit come upon them with power to be his witness. And more than likely, usually, experience one of the gifts of the Spirit. In this environment that is the church, where people are loved, there's grace, and we can learn. There's that. Number two, it's a meeting or it's a part of the church service where there's not a lot of visitors. You see that. Number three, we see that it is done decently and in order. In other words, people share one at a time. And as they share, there's that opportunity to sort of discern, what is the Holy Spirit saying? Here's what that looks like for us at Calvary. This is the way that we've worked this passage out in our church. We generally do not have tongues in most of our services, not because we're forbidding them. We're not forbidding them. If somebody was to give a tongue in family time, I would explain this passage and then I would say, did anybody get an interpretation of that tongue? As this person was talking, you kind of just knew what they were trying to say. And it was directed towards the Lord. I would have given that definition and we would have just waited for a minute for somebody to come forward with the interpretation. And if there was no interpretation, we would have said, okay, we can't have any more tongues in family time. I know you guys are all excited about it, but you got to pray to yourselves. That's what the text says. That's what we would have done. But the Holy Spirit hasn't done that. Are we stressed out about that? No. Do we think we're less spiritual as a church because of that? No. It's not our reputation at stake. You see that, right? We want to experience what he wants. So, generally speaking, that's what our church service looks like. Except for once a month when we take communion. And we plan for an extra hour of church. An extra hour. Yes, an extra hour of church. For what? To just be in his presence. To just minister to the Lord. And to give that opportunity for people to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit and to use the gifts that he gives them. And some of you guys have been to those church services. You've been to those things. And are they encouraging? Are they refreshing? Is it being built up? Oh man, yeah. Does the Holy Spirit speak to us sometimes so specifically, unbelievably, wonderfully? It's not nailed to the wall. Well, sometimes you feel nailed to the wall, but always loved. Always loved. And the overwhelming feeling in those parts of the church service, that extended part of the church service, the overwhelming feeling is love and peace. Is it not, Ben? Am I telling the truth or am I not telling the truth? Yeah. I'm telling the truth, aren't I? Yeah. So that's what it works out for us here at Calvary. That's what it looks like. I want to show you one more thing. I got time? No, I really don't have time. I don't have time. I'll give you this little Bible clue, if you're curious. There is a little word used over and over in the New Testament, and if you'll look it up in like YouVersion.com or BibleGateway.com or BlueLetterBible.com in the New Testament, you look up this word and look it up always in the verses that it's used, in the context that it's used. It's like a little code word for a work of the Holy Spirit in the church. Fascinating. You're like, what's the word? The word is strengthened. Fascinating little word. Yeah, look it up. See what the Holy Spirit wants to say through that, the strengthening of the church. I want to read, just to close here, I want to read a couple of prophecies that I received from you guys over the last couple of weeks as we've been going through these gifts of the Spirit. I was hoping to just say, well, let's apply this and pray for people and just give an opportunity for the gifts of the Spirit. We don't have time to do that. I'm sorry. We will have time next week to do that. And I think that's okay. So next week we'll have our extended service, we'll have communion, and we will experience the gifts of the Spirit. And I want to encourage you, don't leave. Plan for that. We've provided childcare for that. This is important for the church. It strengthens the church. You understand, right? I'm going to read a couple of these to you guys, and then I'll do my duty in sharing them. You guys can discern them. And then I'll break you up into groups of two and three. We'll pray for each other. And I want to encourage you, you don't have to wait till next week to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. You get in that little group of two and three, and you just ask them, I'd like to receive it. Has anybody in this little group received it? If nobody has, just pick up your little group and go to another little group and say, would you pray for us to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit? And just move around until you find somebody. Yes, I've received it. Well, pray for me. Lay hands on me. I want to receive these gifts of the Spirit. I want to experience this. And if your heart is in that place of submission and surrender to Christ and humility, I'm telling you, you've removed all the blocks. And he might just give you one right there in the spot, and he might wait a few days, and then he'll meet you when you're all alone in your house and it's Easter. Just so you know, it's him, not us. All right, a couple of prophecies that have come out. One was that there will be an economic collapse in North America, and it'll happen within the next 2 years. And this is what us as a church needs to do. Number one, our spiritual lives need to be in order, as this event will rattle some people's faiths. We need to pray and fast for guidance and confirmation. People might need to store food and other supplies. There will be a disruption in the supply chain. Stores only maintain a 3-day supply. And when we go through a period of hyperinflation, people may not be able to afford food. You want to get out of debt or not take on any debt? Need at least a month's worth of cash on hand. If you've got over $100,000, come and talk to me. No. Don't. No, if you've got over $100,000, you might want to distribute that a little bit better so that it's not grabbed like it was in Cyprus. And if you have over $100,000, you probably already know that. If you got the opportunity to grow a garden, make sure you got hard copies of your bank statements and important documents. There may be a problem with hacking in the internet and that kind of thing. So that was one of the prophecies that came forward. You can just see if that witnesses with your heart or with your spirit and do something with that. Here's another one that came out, and that's this. Thus says the Lord, the author of time, I'm about to do something spectacular as I already have begun, and my work is always finished. But lament, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. There are many in the church who do not know who I am, and I'm calling my obedient and righteous to intercede and bridge the gap for those who are lost within my church and live deceived. You're to be an example to those who don't understand, for this will begin to fix my house that is in desperate need of restoration and repair. Rise up and come forth and allow your hearts and lives to align with my will, and do what you can, for the time is near. A couple little parts of that that I, if it was given to me, I would word a little bit differently just because I know some of the end time prophecies. However, I think the thrust of that one and the one before is that things are not going to stay the way that they are. And it is time, as Christians, press into the Lord. Don't be surprised. Be aware. God still wants to move, and he wants to do things. And he's an expert at extracting the precious from the vile. And he wants to use you in your life to bless people and to help people. So be prepared for it. I think that's basically it. Hey, our world is not this home anyway. This world's not our home anyway. We're waiting for him to come and take us home, be with him. Amen? That's where our home, our treasure's in heaven. All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, first of all, we want to lift up these families to you in Afghanistan that have experienced loss. And Lord, we pray, you are the God of all comfort. We pray that you would come and comfort them. Lord, we pray that revenge would not be their M.O. But Lord, they would entrust themselves to you who judge justly. Lord, waiting for Jesus Christ to come and make all things right. Lord, we pray. Lord, we pray for our friends and family members. Lord, we so desire, want to be an effective witness of you and of your kingdom and your love and your grace to the ones around us. And Lord, we say we need you. We don't even want to pretend to think that we know what is right and what is wrong for us. Lord, we're looking to you as our Lord, as our God, as our Savior, as our King. And Lord, even though the whole world might crash around us, we know that your promises are still true and faithful. And you will be good in the midst of it, and you'll protect us as your kids. Lord, I pray for anybody here tonight that has not experienced the wonder and the beauty of your gifts. Never had the joy of surrendering their life to you. I pray, Lord, that tonight would be their night. They would bow their knee to you, Jesus Christ, the living God. Lord, you are good, and we are looking forward to your soon return. In Jesus' name, amen. Come through the Son, come by the Spirit, find freedom. Thanks for listening. We hope this message has helped you to walk closer to the Lord. If you'd like to get in touch with us, please contact us through our website, calvaryottawa.ca. May the Lord richly bless you. So